thinking about those two women.
Yes.
You know, I don't want to be hard on them because I think they were considerably older than I think they were getting along toward retirement age. Maybe they seemed older than they were, but they did seem older.
Well, you were quite young.
And they'd been, in this work, you see, for most of their lives. And I think they were very competent.
Were they what you would call working women?
Well, upper class, I
would
say.
They were upper class. They were educated.
Yes, yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. Because to be in the editorial department of Ginz meant that you had had good education mm-hmm. and that you were a person of some ability. Mm-hmm. It was really quite an impressive department. And they, of course, got out a great many good school books. But I didn't see, I was afraid I was going to be like them, you know, doing sort of routine things and maybe getting better at it, but.
You said that they were large. You were always a small woman?
As I remember them, I think they seemed to me large, kind of, you know.
very matronly?
Well, that doesn't seem quite the word for them, but. Kind of stuffy.
No.
I don't know.
Are you always the same size you are now, very petite?
I was then. I was just about as I am now.
How tall are you?
Hmm?
How tall are you?
5 feet, 5½.
Oh, you're not short.
No.
I'm just pushing 5'2". You tower above me.
Yeah. Maybe I've shrunk, but that's what I used to be. But anyway, then I went into the advertising business.
I've got to ask you, did you work a 5-day week at that job?
I think from September to June in that job.
Was it 5 days a week or six?
It was six days a week.
And then you
and it was 8 to 5.
And then you went to school afterwards some days.
Yes. You must have really worked, you know.
You sure did. You must have gotten home awfully late some days.
I think I didn't go to school every night. I can't think that I did every night.
That's
fabulous. I hope I didn't. But
well, you just had time to go home and collapse and get up and go again.
Yeah, that exactly. Yeah.
No wonder you took your vacation.
Yes.
On Sundays, were you still going to church?
What's that thought?
Were you going to church on Sundays
yes.
at that time?
Oh, yes.
So you had to get up every morning.
Yeah.
Sleeping in.
Yeah. It was not an easy life.
No, I guess not.
It really was not.
Well, you needed your summer desperately.
Yes, I did.
How did you secure the second job?
Well, I had a job I'd forgotten all about it. I got fired from. I got a job with an advertising agency, mm-hmm. and I can't remember whether I got it through an agency or just applied for a job.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, I think I wasn't there for 2 weeks. it was terrible. You know, there was the most terrible woman there. She was a great ponderous woman. She always had a glass of milk on her desk, half full. And what she did, she set me to work cleaning cupboards. And I was just boiling about it. But I thought, well, I just better wait. The man at the head of it was very nice. And he was very pleasant and would talk with me about some things. And there was another younger man there that was in charge of something, and he was very pleasant. But this woman was just an ogre. And I was scared not to clean the closet, and I hated it. It was. I think I did something else too, but that's what I remember. And I was just fixing to get ready to say, I'll not be back on Monday when she said, we don't want you anymore. So that's the only job I got fired from. But it was really an awful experience.
Yeah, right. Were you hired under false pretenses?
Yes, I think I definitely was. And as I looked back on it, I thought that I really was capable of doing something more. And when they the man gave me something to do, but I did it very well.
Mm-hmm.
And she was felt that I was a threat to her. I really think that you know, that could have been it, that I was young and you know, seemed to have my buttons.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I went home and I really was kind of set back and told my mother that I'd been fired. And she said, well, don't feel too bad. Somebody called this morning and said that a friend of hers had told her about you and that there was an opening in NWA advertising company, and would you come in Monday for an interview? Wasn't that nice?
Perfect. That's perfect.
So then I got hired, and I was there 3 years, which was quite a record.
What were you doing then?
Well, I worked for the man who was head of the school, camp, and college advertising.
Mm-hmm.
And because I could now take shorthand and type, and everybody who came into their secretarial department had to type a form letter that they send out every month, I think, to all their constituents. And you just sat for days. They had good typewriters typing this letter over and over. And it was a great blessing for me because my typing wasn't too good. And by the time I got through the 6 weeks of typing that, I was really pretty good. So, anyway, this was really very interesting. The man that was at the head of the department, of this department,
mm-hmm.
was a very fine person. And he had studied the ministry, I think, but had left that and gone into this. And this school, college, and camp seemed to be more doing for people.
Mm-hmm.
And he, I know the heads of various schools would come in to talk with him about their problems. And he was awfully good on advising and helping them work through things and in working out their advertising. And all the whole range of publicity, and I worked on that with him. And it was very interesting. Then the representatives from magazines that carried that kind of advertising came in, and I got quite well acquainted with a woman who came from Cosmopolitan. And, you know, they had a big and very good department of it. So I learned about that kind of work, and then, of course, he finally turned over this Herald page to me to write the get-together the school, college, and camp news once a week. And that was very interesting, and also gave me $35 a week extra. But that seems an awful lot.
It is a lot.
But, of course, I think they thought they were paying it to him.
Yeah.
So it made a difference, maybe.
Do you think if they thought they were paying it to a woman or to you, you wouldn't have gotten it?
I think the check came to him. I really do, now that I think back on it.
Signed it over to
him. And he gave it to me. Yeah. He was. I enjoyed working with him very much. And we used to go out to dinner sometimes when we had to work at night. And I remember we went to one very nice place where they had a dance floor. And this was really quite exciting for me to go and have dinner, and we'd dance for a while and go back and work. And it was all on the up and up. There was no, you know, hanky-panky
mm-hmm.
about it. It was a very good relationship, and I learned a lot from him. He had his sister lived with him because his wife had died. They had two boys and a little girl to whom he was just very devoted. They were a nice family. The sister was a fine person. So it was an awfully good experience for me in that organization.
Very pleasant meeting.
And it was hard work. I really worked very hard.
What kind of things did you have to do to compile the newsletter?
Well, for the paper?
Right.
Well, we got in. Of course, we wrote to all these and said that we were going to have this, and would they send in whatever publicity releases they had? Then I'd go through those and sort out what would be of interest and probably rewrite some of them and get them into good shape, not too wordy and whatnot, that would be of interest.
It was a very mental job, though.
Yes.
You didn't have to run around a lot.
Oh, no. It was, I had to run from NWA down to the Herald, but that...
Oh, you did?
That was just once a week, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes. Yeah. It was interesting to be, the building was on State Street, right near the old State House. And it was a very interesting part of Boston to be. As I explored Beacon Hill when I was in the publishing house, I still explored around State Street when I was there in the old Corner Bookstore, which has been famous down the years.
Would you go there on your lunch hour?
Yes, stand up and read the books on the counter.
You must have been so tired of reading, reading all day and then reading at lunch.
Well, I didn't read too much at lunch because I had to eat lunch, but I'd look at the new books, you know, and see. And I was very much interested in poetry at that time, so I always looked at the new poetry books, and every once in a while I bought one.
Did you have a favorite?
No, I think I'd sort of passed out of some of them, and I was sort of feeling around for what I wanted. I think I was into Browning at that time. And there was one modern writer that, I just can't think of his name, but I liked it. And of course, Eva St. Vincent Millay,
right.
I was very fond of her. Mm-hmm. Very fond of her.
You liked women. You liked women authors and women poetry writers.
Yes, but Browning was not, you know, not Mrs. Browning, Mr. Browning.
Mr. Browning.
I like Mrs. Browning too, but some of her sonnets I like very much.
Mm-hmm. What are you thinking?
I was thinking about things that I hadn't ever thought of, I think. You know, the different persons that you are in different stages of life, it looks as though kind of looking at another person, as though this person that was doing this really was related to me now.
What was different about her?
Well, I don't suppose that she was different. It's just that looking back at her now, she seemed much more enterprising and hard-working. I'm really amazed at
lots of industrious energy.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
With that kind of schedule, she had no choice.
No, I didn't. And
what kind of hours were you keeping? Similar to the other job?
Yes. I think somehow I worked down up to getting till not coming in at 9 o'clock. And work until 5, and somewhere along the line they stopped, I think, working on Saturday, but I can't be sure just at what point that was.
Were you a member of a union or anything?
No.
Did you know of unions?
No, unions were just beginning to come up.
Mm-hmm. There wasn't really one that related
no,
to your...
No,
no. You didn't feel that you needed one anyway, you were quite happy.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, I wasn't in a situation, I think, where I needed a union. I wasn't being done wrong by. I really was given good opportunities. And the case of being the page company that I left, I learned a lot there and had a wonderful experience, except that the head of the firm, I think I mentioned, had a terrible temper. And I didn't like that he was often tempering with his brother for whom I worked, and I just thought I couldn't go on with that, though I would have liked to have gone on working for the brother.
Mm-hmm.
Although I began to think the pay was pretty measly.
Yeah, for what you did.
Yeah.
During this time that you were working for McNair, you were still living at home?
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
commuting back and forth?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever consider moving into Boston?
Yes, I had a friend who lived in Boston, one who worked at Ginn's. She lived with an aunt, and they had an apartment on the Back Bay, and I used to, the aunt was sometimes, she was a nurse and was away on cases, and sometimes I would stay with Bella. But I loved my home, and it was such beautiful country there. And my parents were not interfering. I don't think I consciously thought that, but I was very happy. I kind of resented having to get up so early, and I think my mother suffered some of trying to get me up and have me eat a breakfast and go. But anyway, we managed it.
What was your mother doing at that time? She must have had more time on her hands ever since you'd gone to college, because mm-hmm. you'd been away so much.
Yes.
Remember what she was doing at that time? You were so busy, you probably didn't notice.
I'm afraid I didn't, but I know she was busy, and she had friends around, you know, and she belonged to a woman's club and the church activities and a local little magazine circulating group. They had the very good magazines like Atlantic and Harper's and Old Century that they all read, and they just talked about them and whatnot. And my mother played bridge too, but she was never much of a, you know, not a every day, every week kind of card player.
Well, they were getting older by this time.
Yes, they were. Uh-huh.
Was your father still in business?
Yes, he was. Mm-hmm. And then my mother had very serious trouble with her eyes, and she had to have operations on them. And I think maybe now we can move on to California.
Oh, certainly. One thing, you worked for 3 years then?
Yes.
And commuting back and forth, and then you moved after that?
Yes.
What was the reason that you moved?
Well, my mother was having a very bad bronchitis every winter, sort of a chronic bronchitis, and I really wasn't too strong for all I seemed to be plowing along. And my father, we had some relatives that had moved to California, and they were very enthusiastic about it, about the climate and all. And my father thought, well, maybe it would be a good idea to pull up stakes. The climate would be better for my mother and for me. So that's what we did. We sold our house and most of our furniture, and we set out for California.
What year was that?
That was 1924.
How did you come?
We drove out. We had a car, and we packed some things in the car. And
was it hard for you to leave?
Well, in a way it was, but you know, here was something new.
An adventure.
Yeah, and so I think we were all quite happy about doing it, and it was wonderful driving across the country. My father was a good, careful driver, and I remember coming through one place in Colorado where there was a rushing stream along one side, and a cliff went up here, and there was this narrow road, and something had happened to the bridge, rather, and they had planks laid across, and it was frightening. And there was no way to get back, and the workmen there, they just stood around and looked. And my father drove us across that very slowly, but we got across all right. How he did it, I don't know. We were scared to death. I think the workmen were scared to death. I guess we'll never forget that. But anyway, that was really the most scary part. We had we got on the heels of a hurricane one place, and saw all the telephone posts and little houses and things had been blown down. And it was interesting to see the result of a hurricane, but I was glad not to have been in it. I remember we stopped that night at a farmhouse where they had, you know, that they would take guests. It was a very nice place, very clean and well ordered, and they told us about the hurricane and how it had blown the doors off their barn, taking the barn doors and just blown them way off. And little buildings around, but their houses stood all right. But it was interesting, you know, we got lots of little interesting things along the way.
How long did it take, the trip?
Oh, it took quite a long time. I think it was a month or 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And you're staying places?
Yes.
And
the roads, of course, were nothing like what they were. Every once in a while we had to go on day tours. I've got the one funny thing that we all have always laughed about. We went out on this day tour, and we were going up a little road, and coming down the road towards us was this big pig and a whole bunch of little pigs, not little bitty pigs, you know. And my father stopped, and he gave this a little toot on the horn, and they just turned around like that and went back up. It was just as funny as it could be. You know, they were so jolly coming down there, though they were just going out to see the world. When I heard that, that home was dead. So,
well, you have stuff in your car. You have your belongings that you need for the trip.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a van with furniture?
No, we send a van of stuff out and send it into storage out here. And I had quite a little impact in the car. It was quite a big car. And
did you drive?
No, I. Did I drive?
That's a long trip for one person.
Yes, I had learned to drive. Yes. I must have driven some, but I think my father liked to drive, and he felt kind of responsible. I don't know how responsible a woman would be.
Yeah.
There were limits.
What about your mother? Did she drive?
No, she didn't drive. No. And she wasn't very well either.
That's true.
And,
did she suffer on the trip
so
at all?
So we took quite short days.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was about 6 weeks we were.
Did the traveling hurt her health anymore, or did she stay pretty much the same?
After we got to California, she was better for a while, and then she gradually lost her sight.
Mm-hmm.
So the end of her life, she was blind.
Did she have glaucoma?
Yes. And that's what I've had.
Mm-hmm.
And
where did you go in California? Where was it that you
went? To Los Angeles. Then we found a house in Alhambra,
mm-hmm.
right near Huntington Drive. I mentioned that because the red cars ran on Huntington Drive,
yes,
and I went into the city on a red car.
Right.
So it was a very pleasant bungalow.
A
very, very comfortable place.
Mm-hmm.
But
what did your father do then when you came?
Well, he had retired.
Oh.
And I think he really did most of the work around the house. It was a yard to keep, and my mother was definitely not
mm-hmm.
well.
Uh-huh.
And I had a job. This was when I worked at Page Military Academy, and I had to take the red car into Los Angeles and then take another car out to Page, so it took about an hour to get there.
Where was Page?
It was out in the Wilshire District.
Okay.
It was then when Wilshire District was a lot of open country. It wasn't the Miracle Mile. It wasn't the Miracle Mile, and they were just beginning to build, but there were lots of open fields. And it was rather interesting to see that community grow as I went back and forth to it.
Were you the sole support of the family at that time?
No. My father had sold some of his inventions, and he had an income from that.
What kind of things? You mean an invention?
A machine that he had built for doing some kind of work on engines.
Uh-huh.
And he'd sold it to a firm in Buffalo. So we had that and some other income from other inventions, but that was the largest amount. And we felt a little uncertain because I realized, excuse me, I had for my parents, they came away from the people they knew, from the situation they knew, where they were active.
Mm-hmm.
And it was easier for me because I had got a job,
mm-hmm.
and then I made friends around. I went to my college club alumni meetings, you know, various ways.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother's not being well, and then eventually being blind was hard, and it meant that my father had to really take care of everything, practically. Oh, my mother did whatever she could.
Yeah.
And then it seemed... Then I went to work for the First Congregational Church. A friend thought this going back and forth to Page was a little too much, and that there'd be a better job with this Congregational Church.
How long were you with Page, do you remember?
A couple of years, I think.
Did you like California?
Yes, and my mother was well enough and could see enough, and my father liked to drive it. On Saturdays or holidays, we did a lot of exploring. We drove all around, and that I enjoyed very much, needless to say. But then when I got this job with the First Congregational Church, I was kind of an assistant to the Director of Religious Education and did various chores, such as occasionally the switchboard or whatever the wife could do, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're getting ready to move out to the new church.
Mm-hmm. The one in the Wilshire District?
Yes. But when we were still downtown, it seemed when I got this job, it would be better to be living in Los Angeles. Uh-huh. So we sold that house and went into an apartment in Los Angeles.
Where was it?
It was out near the university.
Mm-hmm. Near UCLA?
Mm-hmm.
Near which university?
USC.
USC.
And it was quite a nice district then. I understand that it's been
it was very beautiful.
We had a very pleasant upper apartment on 41st Street, I think it was. It was a nice street. There were nice families around. It was a very pleasant place. It was near Exposition Park, and I used to go over there, things and so on. And then there was the little old yellow car that ran on Vermont, and I was a block from that, and so I could go right almost to the church on land. After they moved out to the Wilshire District.
What was it that you were doing for Page, just to backtrack from that?
I worked with the headmaster of the school, who was writing some books for children. I think they were stories that he had known about the West and Indians, and he wanted somebody to edit them and do some publicity for the school. And he'd set up a print shop as part of the school program.
Mm-hmm.
So he was going to print his own books there. And just for the fun of it, I learned to run the linotype. I never did very well at that, but anyway, I learned how to do it. And then I was very busy. Oh, I'm thinking about it. But I enjoyed it. But I thought it was a good time to move on. We got my books done.
How did you get that job at the Congregational Church?
Oh, I went in and had an interview. I think my friend interceded for me and said that would they interview me for this. So I went in and was interviewed by the Religious Education Director, and she thought maybe I'd do, so I started in with her. And I learned a lot with her. She was a very capable woman, and she had had good experience in it. The only trouble with it was that she was a little abrasive.
Was she? Okay.
Working with her gave me quite a bit of education in the way of running a religious education department. And I read quite a little bit along the way. So when Dr. Fifield asked me to take it over when she left, I felt not too unready for it.
How long was it that you worked under her?
I think about 2 years I worked under her. And she was a creative person, and she worked very well with the young people, but not so well with the adults and with the other members of the staff. She had a somewhat abrasive way, I think, maybe with them. But she was a very, very intelligent and very well prepared woman to do the job, and I was fortunate in working with her and keeping her as a friend. I saw her in New York several years after she left. She was working with some national project there. And I was so glad to see her again. We went out to the World's Fair. It was there at Coney Island that year, so I had a very nice visit with her to talk things over. We had a big church school. It seems to me I may have mentioned to you that we had the junior high department was the strongest department, or as I remembered, 125 boys and girls in that. The other departments were going very well. We had a sort of a supervisor for each group of grades, beside the teacher in the grade. It was really, I think, an extremely well-organized school, and we were able to draw on the membership for very talented and educated persons who would volunteer with it. So I had a wonderful experience and a learning experience in working with them and with the committee. Dr. Fifield was very supportive of the program, but never interfered or really paid too much attention to it other than knowing what was going on. After I had been doing that for several years, and before I leave that, I'd like to mention two things that we did. We developed the nursery school under Barbara Greenwood, who was a marvelous forerunner of nursery school work. And that was an education in how to work with very young children to me. Then a friend of mine, who was a psychiatric social worker, asked if we would be interested in her working with the problem children in the first grades and with the parents. And this was sort of a new idea now. I was reminding of it by reading Dibbs recently, uh-huh. You know, that we had the two-way windows. She could look in and observe, and the teachers talked to her about children that obviously had some kind of problems. And she worked individually with those children, also with the parents. And she wrote reports on her findings. And it proved to be a very helpful experience. I mentioned just those two things that we started a girls' work program, too. So it was a very busy department. We had children's chapel, Mrs. Fifield led.
It was a regular school.
It was a Sunday school, Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And we had activities during the week,
right,
you know, there was clubs
right.
And so on. Then, after a few years, Dr. Fifield wanted an adult education program started because we had a big plant not being used during the week. He asked me if I would be interested, and I said I would, though at that point I didn't think I knew very much about adult education. But I started an evening program with a variety of classes. We had a World Affairs in the main sanctuary. It grew over 1,000 the first term, and other classes ranging from public speaking to ballroom dances. We had a big gymnasium in the basement of the church and a very good teacher. We had several ballroom dancing classes, which were very popular. And then it grew on to all kinds of wood carving, beginning Greek, courses in religion. We had Rabbi Dubin from the temple for a course in the Jewish history. And so there was a wide range of interests, and it grew. 6,000 or 7,000 a year in the three terms. We had a fall, winter, and spring term. During that time, there was a national adult education meeting in New York, and Dr. Fifield asked if I would like to go, and I said I would, because I really was stretching myself to learn all I could about adult education and how to manage it. There again, I had the benefit of an excellent committee of men and women that were vitally interested and dedicated to the church. Anyway, I went to New York, and it was a very good and rich and enlivening experience, and I had Margaret Mead for the first time. She was there at the conference. So then, what with the church school expanding and this adult education expanding, by the way, it was called the College of Life. Dr. Fifield had named it that. Dr. Fifield asked me if I would think about choosing between doing the church school and the adult education. He said he thought that doing the two were too much. I was beginning to think that too. It was 7 days a week, and every evening practically, except Saturday night, that then he had started the Sunday evening club. He wanted something on Sunday evening. So he asked me to set up a Sunday evening club, and we had really noted speakers. We had, I got Will Durant and Louis Brown, and very high caliber persons.
Certainly.
So, was I busy?
Okay.
Well, in a way, it was a blessing, because this was the time that my mother had lost her sight, and it was found that she had cancer. So I had a woman in the apartment during the day to take care of her. My father and I managed during the night, and he managed to keep the apartment going. But it was a kind of a sad time, but this program was so interesting, and there were such interesting people in it, that I couldn't dwell too much on my own troubles.
You had to be there in the evenings to make sure everything was running smoothly.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But basically your job was just to organize everything. You get everything going and secure
yes.
the teachers. And
We had wonderful personnel there to draw on. You know, besides the overall committee that I submitted the program to and got suggestions from, we had a registration committee. And at this time, I had a secretary, and we got out made mimeograph tickets for all the classes. Because, of course, they were different prices and different lengths. And then we had this marvelous registration committee that set up tables in various sections and registered people and took the money and totted it up and deposited it in our bookkeeping office.
Tell me the story about handing the over the shoulder?
Yes, there was a time when there was quite a little stealing and robbery out around in the area, and the woman who had charge of the table in the narthex of the church where the World Affairs Committee program met in the sanctuary, that was, you know, where we had over 1,000 coming, and when they were registering for that, I think it was only $2 or $3 for the 6 weeks, but it meant quite a lot of money coming in, and she told her helpers to just throw it over the back of them in the corner, not keep it on the table. So she always laughed about my plan of security, tossing the money around. Well, anyway, it was really a great experience.
Did the attendance in the night class, how many people were there in the congregation itself? Do you remember?
You mean in the membership?
Church
of the
proper, yes.
Well, I really don't remember, but I would say at least 2,000.
Did your education program then draw mostly from the congregation, or did it also?
No. I had another publicity group who took the programs around to all the libraries in Los Angeles, practically all the libraries. They seemed to welcome them especially, and schools, and hotels in the area, apartment houses. No, we drew a great many
from
all over the area. I think we were really in the beginning of adult education. The schools were not doing very much.
We didn't have the night schools.
If anything, at that time. So we really had a free run on it. And people responded with great enthusiasm.
Was it self-supporting?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, we were quite careful. We of course, paid all of the faculty we had. Dr. Buff, who was a professor at USC, did our World Affairs. He was very popular. He was a very good speaker. And he used his material for a book. I know you see him sort of had the experience of preparing it and trying it out. He was the one who was in the Philippines at the time of the war and was taken a prisoner there. And I think since then he's been at Stanford. I don't know whether he's retired now or not, but he was really very good, and he knew how to talk to our audience. We had a great many librarians and teachers and professional people. And I don't know if there's anything any more enjoyed than the medal artwork class that was down in the basement. And, you know, I didn't realize Elijah was doing it. I think it was a terrific outlet. You'd hear the pile of men down there pounding away on that brass things and all that. I think it was a program that a great many people really enjoyed and benefited by. And I certainly enjoyed seeing it develop. And I think warmly of all those who worked with me and really made it a success, those who taught and those who helped. But we had a man from Whittier College who gave a course on, some kind of psychology. It was a very good course. And finally, we were allowed to give credit for it, college credit.
You were credited.
Yes. And we had another course on finding a job and holding a job, a personnel manager for a firm in Los Angeles gave that, and that was a very helpful, very, very good course. We had Japanese brush painting. That picture there was given to me by the Japanese teacher. But, well, I guess that is about the story of my connection. I was with the First Congregational Church of Los Angeles 9 years.
7 years as the head of the...
Yes, and you know, as I look back now, I got out a brochure every year, every term, you know, listing the courses and all. But my name was never on that brochure. You know, I don't think I thought much about it at the time, but looking back, it was Dr. Fifield's name. Yes. And now with Women's Live, probably
your name definitely.
I would thought, after all, I did this.
Yeah, you know. You told me earlier that he hired you just... that you were really the head, but that his name was attached.
Yes, right.
Was that just an understanding between the two of you?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
At the time, it didn't seem too unjust to you.
No. Huh? I was so interested in doing it. I think I... and I had other problems to wrestle with, and I was so thankful to be doing something that I enjoyed doing. It was so interesting. And I was working with such interesting people. Helpful people, you know. You know, it was really a rich experience. I think, although the committee approved of the program, I always submitted it to the committee, and we discussed it. But there was one course I gave toward the end of my being there that was by a professor from Occidental. And I thought it was very good. We had a large enrollment. I think we had about 100 for it. But one of the trustees of the church attended it, and he was terribly upset by it. It was too liberal.
What class was it?
You know, I can't remember what it was, but it was, I think it was on current economics and sociology, and it probably was one of those advanced thinkers. I thought it, I went to it because I thought it might be controversial, and I found it very interesting and stimulating, but it was not so.
Is that the